daily program, the third highest rated in all of cable news later this year. Glenn Beck said, I truly believe that America owes a lot to Roger Ailes and Fox News. I cannot repay Roger for the lessons I've learned and will continue to learn from him, and I look forward to starting this new phase of our partnership. It went up. And it came back down. No telling why. Except for the fact that Captain Conspiracy is absent, oh, something on the order of a third of his audience. Which says a boatload all by itself. Consider, I mean, this was running on Fox News, you know, Radio Rwanda. One third of Fox News viewers, again, I reiterate, Fox News viewers, not known for their estimable sanity in the first place, or intelligence, but
cussing with America's only born-and-bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know, toward the end of every show every evening, I try to give credit where credit is due because a lot really does go into making all of this happen, from the chat room to the news ninjas who are constantly on the hunt for things that they think will prove interesting and informative, to blogging, to providing other content on the website, to partial sponsorships. I try to cover all the bases of everything it takes to make this show happen. But it occurs to me sometimes that sometimes I need to extend that further, and I need to extend it into places you would not ordinarily expect to hear me giving credit. So let me just say right off the top of the show this evening that State Representative Brent Crane and State Representative Shannon McMillan, both Republicans, both from Idaho, are being fully credited this evening as writers of the program. Because it would just be unfair and improper for me not to do so. Why? Because a little bit ago I saw a story and I realized that Thorn in the Side Thursday had just become something on the order of a Magway spine about the length of a darning needle that was well on the way to my spleen. You may recall a few days back when a representative from the state legislature in, I believe it was Indiana, said that he opposed a rape and incest exception in the case of abortion, not because he was insensitive to those people who had been victimized by rape or incest, but because he was afraid that those godless secular humanist fetus-hating liberals would run around getting all pregnant and, well, liberal women, of course, that kind of lets me and my side of the game out, but getting all pregnant and everything and running to the nearest abortion clinic and hollering, "Ooh, I've been rapistly incestualized," just to get an abortion. Because doggone it, abortions are such a darned fine good time. Well, I thought that was pretty ugly. But even after some 7 years of doing this, even after that amount of time, I'm still learning. I'm still learning that every time I think the Repiglicans have done their damn sleaziest, there's always a Repiglican out there who is more than happy to show me they got more. And thus, tonight's writing credits go to Idaho State Representatives Brent Crane and Shannon McMillan. I can barely stand to get into this story. It makes me so crazy. Truthfully, it should have been, because of the nature of the remarks, it should have gone into last night's program, but I didn't know about it until today. This is some sure enough prayer meeting material. Under consideration in the legislature of the state of Idaho, I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. Did I mention that? Yes, this is the horn. Conversation radio, unlike anything else. Yeah, okay. Apparently, everything is sunshine and violets in the state of Idaho. Because, well, I mean, they've got to have, their budget must be taken care of. There must not be any hungry people in Idaho, especially not with all those potatoes, of course. There's no one homeless in Idaho. All is quiet on the reservations. So that the state of Idaho has time, legislative time, paid for by the people of the state of Idaho, to dedicate themselves to the burning issue of the day. Women's insides. Because that's the only way that's the only way that this issue should ever be able to reach a legislature. When there's nothing actually important going on. When everything is so dull, so tranquil, that legislators, fearing that they're just drawing their breath and their pay, have to find something to work on, have to figure out some way to get big government into Idahoans' lives, and do it by considering what a woman does with the internal workings of her body. And in this case, the externalized forces that interact, shall we say, for want of a better term, with that said body, those said bodies. Stop vamping, Bob. Do it. So you know, as I mentioned, Indiana, well, the next, it's not the next because D becomes before N, but you, no. The latest state to take up the critical and burning issue of how to get government into the womb. Yeah, Idaho. Well, there's a bill. And it's kind of a copycat bill because it follows in the footsteps of a bill passed by the Nebraska legislature. Nebraska, Indiana, Kansas, Idaho. You know, at least Alabama and Arkansas are getting some relief. But the whole goal is to outlaw all abortions after 20 weeks. And I do mean all abortions. It used to be that if there was... God, I hate this topic. It's just so malodorous. It's so repugnant. This issue of doughy, pasty-faced white men getting all head up and worried about the little cell clumps a growing inside the women folk. Never mind, they're not too interested in cell clumps growing inside women folks' breasts or blood. No, we're not talking about cancer here. We're talking about fetuses. Now, there's some ginned up BS research, you know, junk science, that the right wing likes to rely upon, claiming that fetuses after 20 weeks of age can feel pain. Just like I'm feeling for the fetuses right now. They can feel pain. There's only one problem. It is BS. It barely qualifies as medical research at all. So with that 20-week marker in mind, in the Idaho legislature, there has been introduced a bill that just says flat out, no abortions after 20 weeks. None. But Bob, what about rape? What about incest? What about the life of the mother? Sorry! Quote, only when the pregnancy threatens the mother's life or physical health could a post-20-week abortion be performed. In other words, she has to be dying. Not suicidal. Not emotionally wrecked. Not devastated or destroyed. She has to be at death's door. You know, couple this with the... and I mean, it's one of those... You know the song America? America. How do you sing that with a question mark? America? 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 46% of people polled in Mississippi want the Mississippi legislature to outlaw interracial marriage. Really? Because, you know, Mississippi's still not quite convinced, even though it took a brutal ass-beating. Mississippi is still not quite convinced that the law of the United States of America actually applies to it. You know, Loving versus Virginia. Right. Because if we could outlaw that interracial marrying, we could probably make sure that there'd never be any gay marriages here in Mississippi. You know, I think back to stopping to fill up with gas before I left Mississippi a couple of weeks back. Pulled up under the pumps, went in, paid for my gasoline, and noticed that blaring from the speakers, embedded into the covering, whatever, roof over the pumps area, blaring from those speakers was just some of the finest Jesus music you ever wanted to hear. They can do some good Jesus music in Mississippi. You know, just because when you're filling up with a little bit of 87 octane regular, you never know when the hand of the Lord might reach down and touch a sinner through the music playing through the gas station speakers. Because the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Now, this is not a complete digression, because the movement of the Lord in mysterious ways is central to this story out of Idaho. So we know what's going on here. We know the nature of the bill. It's also Sexual Assault Awareness Month, by the way. It might be interesting to note that some 60% of all rapes are never reported,
never investigated, that the victim merely hides in shame. Right? Well, this bill has no exception for rape or incest. And the questions were put out as to why. That is when State Representative Shannon McMillan, Repiglican of Idaho, said that a woman who was impregnated via rape should be compelled to carry the baby to term because the rape was not the fetus's fault. I'm just kind of sitting here blinking my little eyes. I imagine you're doing something similar. Doesn't a statement that the rape was not the fetus's fault somehow imply that the rape was, in fact, the woman's fault? Just because a woman was impregnated under violent circumstances should have no impact because it's not the fetus's fault. But that wasn't enough for State Representative Brent Crane, tonight's co-recipient of the writing credit for this program. State Representative Brent Crane went further, because he kind of has a moral duty to do so, being as how he is the sponsor of the bill. Oh, look, a guy sponsoring a bill dealing with women's insides. It's okay, we can say uterus on this program, but I'm a hillbilly and we say things like inside. My innards is hurting today, Louise. You know, that kind of thing. Brent Crane, sponsor of the bill, dealing with internal organs of which he has none, went a little further to explain that the whole not the fetus's fault, well, I hate to call it reasoning because it isn't. He referred to rape and incest. Uncle Daddy! He referred to rape and incest, of course, as tragic and horrific. But he also went further. And this is the sit-down part of the program. Sweet Jesus, this is the sit-down part of the program. He said that rape and incest are works... Rape and incest are works of the hand of the Almighty. Can we just take a little moment for some discussion here? Isn't the appropriate description of some supernatural being who works through people via rape and incest? Isn't that supernatural being more properly described by the word demon? Not that I much believe in either of them. But if we're gonna work with the arcana of the metaphysic, a supernatural being that causes a woman to be forcibly to have sexual congress by forcible nature, of a forcible nature. The supernatural being that causes that to happen really can't be described in any wise as good. And certainly, well, if you're going to describe that supernatural being as almighty, then somewhere, some millennia back, the devil won. But don't be surprised by this. Sickened, horrified, absolutely. But don't be surprised. Because after all, their own holy book says
Now remember, we've got to do a little religion work here. According to the Council of Nicaea, and certainly not Holy Scripture, if it's holy, or well, it is Scripture, because Scripture just means writing. According to the Council of Nicaea, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three separate and distinct beings who are at the same time one. Thus is the concept of the Trinity espoused. And thus have thousands died for merely trying to suggest, making the wrong suggestion about what the Trinity was. One of the things that plagued, for instance, the ancient Byzantine Empire was a sect called Monophysites, or Monophysites, I don't know. It depends on how you feel about the letter Y. And there were cusps that the empire reached periodically that could have had a Byzantine Empire existing unto this very day were it not for the fact that those sectarian strifes over the very nature of the Trinity were sufficient to cause them to drop everything, including their defenses. So in the Holy Book of the Christians, it says that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, was born of a virgin named Mary, who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing in the Gospels to suggest that Mary was praying for this to happen. The fact that we've got a few years worth of my children reading the Christmas story every year, and there's nothing anywhere in there that says that anything except that she was a young woman who was espoused to be married, not married yet, to Joseph, a day laborer from Nazareth. Being found pregnant before their marriage could have easily resulted in the application of the ancient and horrible law of that era, which would have required the murder of Mary. So she was certainly not going to sleep every night saying, "Dear God, knock me up." And there is nothing inside the Gospels to suggest that. I'm not saying that there was. But what is in the Gospels is the assertion that without her consent, and with her being what we would deem in the 21st century to have been underage, the Holy Spirit, who by virtue of Trinity doctrine is also God, and also Jesus before Jesus was born even, yeah, talking about hoop jumping, that via the agency of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, like Zeus coming down from Mount Olympus to romp with the cattle or swans or what the hell ever, that God, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, banged Mary like a cheap Chinese gong and knocked her up with what would eventually become Yeshua. I'm sorry, these are graphic terms, but it's their book, not mine. So God raped a little girl named Mary in order to create the Savior who would be the great balm in Gilead to us all. The very physical earthly life of that person who came to be called by the Greeks the Christos, the Savior, was seated in a rape. Really? 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 So I guess it should come as no surprise then to find out that somebody like State Representative Brent Crane, obviously a fine God-standing, God-fearing, upstanding, gospel-believing, Bible-whomping Christian of some persuasion, be it Protestant, Catholic, or Mormon, it comes as no surprise that he would see rape as an act of the Almighty. As a work of the hand of the Almighty. That's the quote. The hand of the Almighty. Now, with it being the hand of the Almighty, and you can read about this over at the Spokesman Review, spokesman.com. Idaho House passes abortion bill is the name of the story. Representative Crane said, "His ways are higher than our ways. He has the ability to take difficult, tragic, horrific circumstances and then turn them into wonderful examples." Sometimes I'm grateful for the fact that this program doesn't actually operate real-time two ways, because I would hate to actually have to hear the amount of vomiting going on out there right now. By the way, the bill passed the House on a vote of 54 to 14. Only 14 members of the House of Representatives of the state of Idaho had the nerve to stand up for the constitutional rights of the women who live within the heartbreaking confines of that state. But back up. Back up. Really trying not to throw things here. Brent Crane, uterus-challenged person, who believes that a rapist is merely little more than an agent of the hand of God, Brent Crane thinks that a rape victim is a wonderful example of God's eternal and abiding love. Love. You know, every now and then people call the program and they, you know, "Bob, you know, I know you don't, but you know, Christianity's really good." But I've got Terry Jones out there who recently got several people, innocent people, murdered in Afghanistan. And he did it in the name of Christ. And I have Brent Crane in Idaho whose response to a rape would be to tell the beaten, battered, bruised, bleeding victim to praise God for the blessings that he had heaped upon her. How can this ever be reconciled with the teachings, the words, or the life
of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. In a word, they can't. Christianity has nothing to do with Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. Because having read the Gospels a number of times, I am unaware of any passage in which Yeshua says, "Throw her to the ground and do her again, brothers," and then looks at the battered, bruised, bleeding victim and says, "Arise, sister, for I've just got done blessing thee. And you shall bear a child." Never mind the fact that being a Republican, Representative Brent Crane doesn't give a good old-fashioned goddamn about what happens to the child after it's born. Well, maybe it'll grow up to cure cancer. Or maybe it'll grow up to smoke meth. Odds are, given the circumstances, the meth part is highly more likely than the cure cancer part. Apparently there are some members of the reality-based community still in Idaho. I know this by virtue of the fact that we have listeners to this program. Hi, Chris. Who live in Idaho. One of those reality-based community members is State Representative John Rush, R-U-S-C-H-E, Rush, a Democrat from Lewiston, Idaho. And being a physician, as he is, he noted that most debilitating and heartbreaking birth defects are not detectable in a fetus until after 20 weeks duration of the pregnancy. Because before the 20 weeks, the fetus is still looking pretty much like a tadpole or a frog. Or a fish. Sort of a reminder of whence we came. But then again, Brent Crane thinks we came from church on a dinosaur. He said, "To knowingly force someone to carry a baby to term when they know it's not going to survive, I think, is cruel." Because that, remember, no abortions after 20 weeks. It is possible medically to know that a baby will die the instant that it is born because it has horrific and debilitating birth defects. But because God is a loving and merciful God, Brent Crane wants to make sure that knowing that her child will die at birth, that mama carry it to term. I don't know how people stand so much Christian mercy. Truly, it is a mercy that is past my comprehension. By the way, don't be thinking that the bill needs to go over to the Idaho Senate or anything, because it doesn't. Having passed the House on the 54-14 vote, it's going, hey, straight to the governor's desk for his signature. Which will be appended thereunto with all speed. Now, Idaho is not a wealthy state. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. You can only sell so many potatoes. The Idaho legislature has already been told by its attorney general that the bill is unconstitutional because it is, in fact, a violation of the holdings set forth in Roe versus Wade. But Brent Crane doesn't care.
any more than he cares about women. By the way, the law as it was written has provisions built into it for a legal defense fund that can accept donations. Because when you're defending this bill, brothers and sisters, you're defending the unborn themselves. The last time Idaho did something this goddamn stupid, it cost the people of Idaho $750,000 to lose the case. $750,000. Reckon there's any way? Well, no, because we already made the determination, didn't we, that Idaho has no budget issues. Idaho has no homeless issues. Idaho has no medical care issues. Idaho has no hungry. Idaho has no children in need of loving and caring homes. Everything is taken care of and already paid for in Idaho. So they don't need, and by the way, the last time this happened in Idaho was a decade or so ago at least, and you know what? Legal costs are going up like everything else, so what was $750,000 might well be $1.5 million by now. Or two. But that's okay, because Brent Crane is standing up for the unloved, unborn children of rape and incest. Because, you know, Idaho needs more people with big ears and buggy eyes and babies' arms growing out of their heads. Incest being incest. What do you say about a country where this is a legislative priority? Making women hurt more than they already hurt. Is that country pretty much done? Because, see, I got another one of those annoying historical comparisons for later in the program as well. You get so tired of hearing about ancient Rome from me, but, you know, it's what I got to work with. History. An empire that cannot adequately pay its troops and whose governing body refuses to do the responsible thing and make sure they get paid, that empire is on the downside of the bell curve. And the Republican Party is damned well determined to prove it to us. I've never met Brent Crane. I hope I never do. But just between us, can I tell you that without having met him or seen a photograph of him or knowing anything about him other than this, is it okay if I tell you that I despise him? Is it okay if I tell you that I would not pee in his mouth if his godforsaken guts were on fire? I hope so. Because while I try to create no space in my heart for hate, sometimes Republicans like Brent Crane just come along with a little pick and a little shovel, and they are damned well determined to carve out a little corner of my heart for it anyway, regardless of how I feel. And so there it is. I despise him. It's that almighty hand of justice that I really wish for. Because I would love for Brent Crane to go to sleep tonight, a secure Christian male, satisfied that he has done all he can for the lives of the unborn. He doesn't give a shit about after they're born, but never mind that. And I would like for him to wake up tomorrow morning, battered, bleeding, and bruised, and female. And on the 19th week and the 6th day of his pregnancy by rape, if that almighty, unseen, but somehow constantly moving hand really existed, he would. Brent Crane would be afraid to go to sleep at night for the metamorphosis that might transpire. No, nothing Kafka-esque. No bugs. Nothing more, nothing less than a human female in crisis. Because you see, I can go there in my mind. And I wouldn't want to be there. Every child that we have here was a struggle for Agnes to carry to term. She took hateful, horrible drugs to make sure that the baby was not expelled from her prematurely. And how glad we were to see them. And so, while I didn't experience those pains myself, I was there at least vicariously. And I was behind the wheel of the car with sweat pouring off my head every time we ran to the hospital to try to make sure that the little ones stayed where they were supposed to until what the Bible refers to as the appointed time. Imagine now that you are a woman. For the women listening in the audience, no imagination is required. Guys, imagine you're a woman. And the thing inside you is hateful and a constant reminder of the profound act of vicious violence that was done you. You can't go there, can you? I can't either. But we can work in something a little bit closer to empathy, being liberal, being progressive, being decent human beings, than Brent Crane of Idaho ever can. Ever can. And his psychopathic inability to engage in the most basic degree of human concern in favor instead of some sort of imaginary friend in the sky. Is going to lead to agony. Agony.
agony inside the confines of that poor, benighted place. Called Idaho. Right? Like I said, I see these things. And they sort of dictate the program. They just do. So I'm sorry, because like I said, it's a loathsome topic and it's an agonizing topic. But we do have to be cognizant of what these evil bastards are up to and what they mean to do to you and to me. And it's worth remembering also that this law in Idaho will have no impact on people of Brent Crane's social status, cultural status, class. Because if an abortion is needed, and they are, and frequently, among his class, it ain't no thing. Because they can go out of state to some civilized place and get what they need. Get the health care that is needed. But for a poor woman in Coeur d'Alene or Boise or Lewiston, Idaho is literally a prison for her womb. And thus we begin this evening. If you want to get in on the conversation, you're more than welcome to. I think we're going to need a visit from Dr. Freud, based on another story I've got in the stacks. A visit from Dr. Freud later. Coming up, since it is a Thursday, we have the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And then your calls, of course. Right here on America's listener-supported liberal voice. Right here on the Horn.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Your mama's gone away and your daddy's gonna stay. Don't leave nobody but the babe. Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Everybody's gone in the cotton and the corn. Didn't leave nobody but the babe. You're sweet little babe.
You're sweet little babe.
You're sweet little babe.
You're sweet.
Honey and the rock and the sugar don't stop. Gonna bring a bottle to the babe. Don't you weep, pretty babe.
Don't you weep, pretty babe.
Don't you weep, pretty babe.
Don't you weep, pretty babe.
She's long gone with the red shoes on. Gonna need another loving babe. Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
You and me and the devil makes three. Don't need no other loving babe. sleep, you little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
Come lay your bones on the
preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, April 7, 2011.
GOP versus EPA in the House and Senate.
He must think the EPA stands for Energy Punishment Agency as opposed to Environmental Protection Agency.
Under the Republicans, EPA stands for Every Polluter's Ally. Under the Democrats, it stands for End Petroleum Addiction.
How about we be intellectually honest about this? Let's rename the bill the Koch Brothers Appreciation Act of 2011.
Clean energy versus oil in the budget shutdown showdown.
When you only have 2, 3% of the world's oil reserves, why wouldn't you want to develop alternative sources of energy that are cleaner and more efficient?
Plus,
at 11:32, there was a strong earthquake in the Tohoku region.
Signs of stabilizing at the Fukushima reactor as yet another earthquake rocks Japan's devastated coastline.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You are watching the beginning and the birth of the New World Order. And you want to call me crazy?
No, I just want to call you fired, Glenn Beck.
You're fired. Go to hell.
No, you go to hell. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, today I see that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the group who has targeted by name and address you and I in their in a proposed $12 million smear campaign, they put out an iffy bit of propaganda today, calling the EPA's plan to regulate greenhouse gases as they are required to do, as ordered by the U.S. Supreme Court under the Clean Air Act. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is calling this a power grab.
Oh, they ought to know about power grabs.
They ought to, indeed. Remember, the EPA was founded by Republican Richard Nixon. The Clean Air Act was passed under Republican George H.W. Bush. And the order to the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases was by the very Republican U.S. Supreme Court. Just keep that in mind when you're lying to people out there, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Creeps. What else do you have for us today, Des?
Yeah, we'll have more on that EPA battle in a moment. But first, the devastated coastline of northeastern Japan has been struck by yet another earthquake. The magnitude 7.1 earthquake struck off the coast of the hard-hit Miyagi Prefecture just before midnight Thursday night local time. It's the biggest aftershock among more than 1,000 that have occurred since the March 11th earthquake. More than 1,000. As of airtime, no significant reports of damage or injuries. At the Fukushima nuclear power plant, officials temporarily evacuated workers from the plant as a precautionary measure, and they report no change in radiation levels around the plant. Meanwhile, officials say that an injection of nitrogen into reactor building number one so far is succeeding in counteracting a dangerous buildup of explosive hydrogen gases. Back here in the United States, the budget shutdown showdown continues. The Republican budget proposal calls for eliminating all federal support for renewable energy technologies, but would keep in place $4 billion in annual subsidies for the fossil fuel industry every year.
Of course it would.
President Obama, in a visit to a wind turbine plant in Pennsylvania yesterday, again made the case for annual federal grants and tax credits for the clean energy industry and to boost the economy.
We want to make them permanent so that people aren't looking every few years to try to figure out, is this investment going to be there for us? I mean, I want to kickstart this industry.
But on Capitol Hill, in the midst of the budget impasse, Republicans in Congress are working to enact their legislative wish list, including a double-barreled attack on the Environmental Protection Agency in both houses of Congress to strip the EPA of authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. As expected, the legislation did not pass in the Senate, but House Republicans went even further, trying to repeal the EPA's scientific finding that carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases are endangering human health and the environment. In a contentious floor debate, Representative Dan Boren of Oklahoma echoed the main Republican argument that the new regulations would hurt jobs in the U.S.
I'm proud of the work Koch Industries brings to my district and its record of environmental stewardship. I want to make sure that Georgia-Pacific employees keep their jobs and that Koch can continue to invest in Oklahoma.
Well, we give points to Congressman Boren for being honest there. Also points to Representative Gerald Connolly, Democrat from Virginia, for his honest response.
How about we be intellectually honest about this? Let's rename the bill the Koch Brothers Appreciation Act of 2011.
Other House Democrats condemned the attempt to overturn scientific fact.
If there was a meteor hurtling towards us, I would hope that this body wouldn't pass a bill that tells NASA to ignore it, to step away from the telescope, specifically forbids them from telling people to get out of the way.
This bill, in rather clear forms, caters to a narrow sector of a narrow political interest to ignore clear science.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg reports that new wind farms now cost the same as new coal-fired power plants. Of course, as Grist points out, only one of them kills people.
Read about that and much more that we didn't have time to get to today at our website, greennews.bradblog.com, where we hope you will consider making a donation to help sponsor the Green News, to help keep us on your public airwaves and telling the truth, whether the bad guys like it or not. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Too Much Crazy Green News Report.
Go to hell.
Science is real.
Total Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius, we got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Really and for truly, it is about a minute and a half past the hour. The hours. Between 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, at least for me, they fly by. They literally fly by on little sun-dappled wings, I suppose. Well, there's my first pronunciation screw-up of the evening. Thanks, Jan. Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So... actually, I'll remember that. I try to commit those to memory. In fact, I can still tell you that there's a river somewhere in, I think, Oregon called the Willamette. Not the Willamette. Even though the place in Illinois is Willamette. As is the river there, too. Willamette. Yay me. But, you know, that's one of the good reasons to tune in. You know, what pronunciation will Bob screw up tonight? You know what? Manoushehr Gurbanifar, I got no problem with. Coeur d'Alene, forget it. So, no, lots of program left, and you know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333, and email to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. Yeah, and I was being a little bit of a grammar Nazi during the Green News Report too. Sorry, guys. It's what got done to my brain somewhere along the way. Ouch. Worcester, Lottie, Worcester, Worcester. I hope. Actually, it goes back. I love names, English names that end in C-E-S-T-E-R, because it triggers my ancient Rome fetish. Because I know that anytime you see a place name with C-E-S-T-E-R on the end, that actually is a bastardization of the ancient Roman word castra, C-A-S-T-R-A, the idiom castra pono, means to pitch camp. So anytime you see a place, Winchester, Worcester, that kind of stuff. Worcester, of course. I knew it. See, these tricky place, regional place names. You know, there's a place in Georgia, H-O-U-S-T-O-N. No, it's not Houston. It's Houston. Yeah. But anyway, whenever you see that C-E-S-T-E-R, Chester, whatever, that means that's some place that a little Roman army pitched camp and a little town sprung up around it once upon a time a million years ago or so, whatever. But anyway, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, does Westminster count?
No, that's a minster, not a caster.
Okay, my bad. Sorry about that. How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm good. And before we get started, I want to say hi to Cause. He's in the chat room. Every time he shows up, that's a good thing considering the situation. It's nice to see him out there.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, this guy who called this woman a bitch.
Prosser?
Yeah, I mean, I want to dedicate the Johnny Guitar Watson song to him. Because it's all over. He's going to be singing that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right. Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Okay. Glenn Beck is gone, and I know somewhere Keith Ellison has to be smiling. And he's probably singing a James Brown song, The Big Payback, because that's what happened pretty much. I mean, this guy couldn't last. You know, even right-wingers look at this guy and go, this guy's nuts.
You know, the sad thing, though, Tony, is that there were a million good reasons to have gotten rid of him a year ago. But none of that mattered to Rupert Murdoch. It only started mattering to Rupert and Roger when they noticed that there was money not landing in their wallets anymore.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I remember watching his interview with Keith, I don't know, I want to say a year ago, but I might be wrong. And the guy, I mean, he actually asked him, why should we trust you?
Tell me how I can not be afraid of you. Explain to me how it is that you're not the enemy.
I mean, that's...
And see, at that point in time, I was really proud of Keith Ellison, Tony, because the Scots-Irish redneck part of me would have been across the table, but Keith Ellison didn't do that. He didn't go across the table and just beat Glenn Beck into a bloody pulp. And,
well, you notice he didn't have him in studio when he did that. He did it, you know, those guys, when they get somebody in person, there's no way he's saying that. Keith really did handle it with a lot of class because, I mean, you know my situation. I got a little ticked off, but he definitely, you know, he made Glenn look like an idiot because he handled it so smoothly, you know?
Absolutely.
Not that Glenn needs help looking like an idiot. He's pretty much got that covered on his own.
He's a self-made idiot.
He practiced very hard at it. I could see him standing in front of the mirror going, what if I said this? Anyway, this whole woman's right to choose thing, it's so tired because these guys, it's a non-issue. It's been the law for so long. Whenever they want to be reelected, they take it off the shelf and they dangle it in front of these people, and then as soon as they win, they put it away. They never proceed forward with it. I mean, if they really wanted to, how come they don't start a national movement? These guys don't want this thing illegal because it's a wedge issue.
No, because it's a moneymaker issue. There's an entire industry that sprung up around trying to control women's insides. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Really? Is that much? Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because, look, the fundamentalist churches, fundamentalist organizations, focus on the family... is a multi-million dollar operation all by itself.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right about that. Definitely. And like I said, they just keep bringing it out all the time. And, you know, these people fall for it every 2 years, every 4 years. I don't know what's going on. Did you see the Obama talking about the shutdown last night when he was on TV? It was really late.
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I hate to say this. I have no confidence in him. It's kind of like what Sandra said last night. You know, just sort of wait. You know, every time, it's called a late night meeting. the preemptive surrender imminent.
You know, I'm not trying to steal any of Sandra's thunder, but, you know, she said the other day that she gave up on him. You know, this guy, I told you this before, the man won on the landslide. He should have told him to go pound set him. It just seems like he's given and given and given and given. And I mean, he even re-signed the Patriot Act.
Yeah, and you know, there was one quote from him a couple of days ago where he said, we cannot treat this as a my way or the highway issue.
Well, Bush did. Bush did. We got his policies shoved down our throat for 8 years. Cheney was telling people to F off. I mean, Bush and Cheney, they mad dog people. If you weren't going to get on board with them, they just rolled over you. I mean, this guy, he re-signed the Patriot Act. He's going to hold military tribunals, and he's keeping Guantanamo. But, I mean, he just doesn't... I don't get this guy. I don't know where he's coming from. I mean, it's just like it's like he left us behind or something. You feel used?
Yeah. Yeah, used. That's an appropriate term. Yes.
I mean, I feel really used because.
Because see, at this point, the maneuvering has taken place, and the Democrats are going to lose this messaging war because, of course, the for-profit media will do the water carrying for the Republican Party for all they're worth. All day long, it's been nothing but. Where is it here? The Republican Party today, in the person of House Majority Leader Eric Leave Brittany Alone Cantor, said that President Obama was President Obama was going to make sure that the troops aren't paid.
Oh, that's such a load of crap.
Well, the Democrats tried on three separate occasions to make sure that the military did get paid. And see, if you're out there, and this is something that needs to be considered, Tony, if you're out there in the field, and you're a member, you know, you're a deployed member of the military, you know what? To the extent that we can do it, we're going to feed them, we're going to clothe them, we're going to attend to their medical needs, and we're going to make sure they've got enough bullets and shit that goes boom, okay?
They sure don't.
But the thing is, they have families back home, and those families back home aren't going to be able to, you know, keep the lights on. But the Republicans have positioned themselves such that they are ready to make sure that America understands that Obama hates the troops. And we've got a White House that doesn't have the first freaking clue about messaging or framing and is going to let it get hung around their necks again.
Yep, and they sure don't mind those contractors getting paid. I mean, I don't see anybody talking about, you know, when they talk about Obama's not feeding the troops, you notice that these guys don't say anything about the contractors being paid because they know that would be a death sentence if they didn't mention them. You know, it's always, these, like I said, these Republicans, they poke at our patriotism by grabbing something where everybody can relate to. Working class people, well, I don't think rich people can relate to them because they don't understand what it is to serve their country. But me, you, we work for a living. Working class people understand when you see a soldier, you have a tendency to, for lack of a better word, look at them with a little bit of respect. But these guys don't give a damn about these people. They drop them in meat grinders in civil wars, and then they don't even pay attention to it. But when it comes,
and then when they come back all blown to pieces, well, we don't have money in the budget for that.
That's such crap. I don't know. Oh, you know that woman who beat that guy? I don't know her name, but the David's guy's name is David what? Prosser? Or?
Yeah, Prosser.
I'm sorry, my bad. She came. Wasn't he like 25 points ahead? About two.
Yeah, she came back from 30 points down, which is pretty amazing in the first place.
Dude, I was watching the right wing media last night, and their heads were exploding. I mean, they didn't know what to do. I mean, and she did it. From what I understand, I didn't follow it day by day, but it looks like she did it honorably too. She didn't take no cheap shots.
No, well, no. What Prosser didn't like was the fact that he got called on the carpet for something that was very much true. And that is the fact that he had taken the side of a boy-raping priest.
Oh, my God. I don't know the story. Can you give me a quick update on it? Or?
Well, you remember, what was it, the Diocese of Milwaukee or some such?
Oh, okay.
And they had a priest up there that was buggering little boys like it was going out of style. It was a number of years ago. Okay. And Prosser took his side.
He did? How did he justify it? What did he say to justify that?
Well, he wanted to make sure that the man was as far away from... was unable to do any further harm, so rather than prosecuting him, he just wanted him out of Wisconsin. Never mind the fact that, the way the Catholic Church rape scandal goes, they get moved from point A to point B, and they keep doing what they were doing in the first place.
And that's probably what buried him. That's probably what he won, huh?
I think that probably made up a lot of ground. I don't know, but that just infuriated him. Because, you see, that's the way it is with the psychosis that is Republicanism, Tony. When you get caught for doing your Republican dirty deeds, then you get all outraged at people for catching you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching.
I mean, that's why he shows up on Fox a couple of nights ago and says, well, I may have used some inappropriate language, but they set a trap for me.
an inappropriate. What do you think would have happened if one of our guys said something to like that to one of their people? Fox would have, it'd have been 24/7.
Oh yeah, it would have been Jeremiah Wright, wall to wall.
Oh my God! They set a trap for you, dude. You're a guy. What are they going to do? Beat you up? That's such crap. These words they pick, trap. He said that there was a bunch of women and they were needling him. I might be wrong, but I thought I heard that, read that somewhere. I mean, they set a trap for him, right? That doesn't excuse what he said. When you use that word, then it pretty much explains your basic outlook on women for the most part.
Yeah, you trapped me into proving that I am a misogynist.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about
But I mean, it's not over. There's going to be a recount, and they're not going to quit because Republicans don't quit. They bird dog stuff. They pit bull it.
You think he's going to pull what Norm Coleman pulled?
Oh yeah, he'll fight it to the bitter end.
She's going to win,
because they've got to keep her off the bench. Because there are important challenges to the Scott Walker legislation that will find its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court rather swiftly.
You know, with this going on with Beck leaving and with this woman winning, I don't know if I'm using the wrong word, but I kind of feel like a little bit of a spark's going on here. Hopefully we can keep it going, but it feels like, not that Beck has anything to do with the government, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
I do. But the thing is, Beck's not going anywhere. He's still being paid millions of dollars for a 3-hour paranoia fest on the radio every day.
You know he's going on the web, though. You know he's got to. There's nowhere.
Yeah. That's he's following. He's basically cold trailing Keith Olbermann.
You know, you've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
How long you been broadcasting on the web, if you don't mind?
Web only based broadcasting will be 6 years old in October, but we've been streaming and doing terrestrial radio since February of 2004.
Kind of makes you a little bit of a pioneer there. You're breaking some ground.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you'll notice if you go back and look at the pictures, the pioneers were all gaunt, haggard people living in dirt. You know, oh, he's a pioneer. Oh, yeah.
I want to ask you about Terry Jones, if it's okay.
Sure.
You know, this guy, he did this, and there was a protest in Afghanistan, and they beheaded some UN people. You know, and they made it sound like the UN people were foreign, but technically, basically, we're the UN. They never bothered to tell you. They said they were from Europe, but you really think that they would tell us if they beheaded one of our soldiers? You think that the media would actually come out and say it?
Oh, yeah, they would, because it would whip the American people up into a nuke-dropping frenzy.
Because I think that...
Don't you remember the hissy fit when the Iraqis, who had been tormented by those Blackwater mercenaries, the mercenaries were killed, and then their bodies were burnt, and then their bodies were hung from a bridge? Don't you remember the self-righteous frenzy that this country went into? We do self-righteous frenzy real good here.
I remember that, but the thing that really made me mad about that was, once again, why did our those mercenaries, when they get that money, they say, this is what my life is worth. They knew what they were doing. Why did our soldiers have to go level a town because mercenaries were killed? I mean, it's just like, I mean, if it had been Marines, it'd be a different story, but we had to go level a town because some contractors got killed. They put a price on their life when they took that money. That was really disgusting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and to this day, they're chock-a-block with mercenaries in Afghanistan and Iraq still, and eventually Libya will be crawling with mercenaries.
One more thing, and I'll let you go. And we're doing it again. We are doing it again, and it's going to come back to bite us on the ass. Al Qaeda is in Libya. They're fighting Gaddafi. We're funding them and we're arming them. We are doing it again, Bob. I don't know. You're obviously a smart guy. Can you explain to me how this is not going to come back and bite us on the ass?
No, because it is going to come back and bite us in the ass. And then we'll wring our hands and say, why did this have to happen to poor, gentle, sweet, lammy, loving America? We never done nothing to deserve this.
What's going to happen is we're gonna do what we did before in Afghanistan. After they beat down Gaddafi, which if they do, we'll see what happens. But after they, for lack of a better word, beat him, then we're gonna say thank you very much. Have a nice day. We're gonna pull.
It's called blowback, Tony. I mean,
it's called blowback. The guys have written books about it. You've seen the books out there, Bob. We never learn. We just never learn.
Well, we do. Our betters don't. Because, see, it's our people, it's our loved ones who get sent over there to get shot at and so forth. It's our loved ones who die in the terrorist bombings when they do come here. It's not the high and mighty, well-heeled, well-to-do.
That's very true.
We fight the wars. We do the bleeding. And therefore, we're not really real. We're just little chess pieces to be moved around on the board.
You watch what happens, and we're doing it again, and I scratch my head.
And you know that Muammar Gaddafi put out another letter. I was watching last night as Anderson Cooper could barely constrain his glee at the fact that it was poorly spelled.
Remember, Bob, he's keeping him honest. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert.
Go ahead.
But once again, Muammar Gaddafi referred to President Obama as my son, Barack Hussein Umama.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so you know that out there in Wingnut Land, they're going, see, he ain't even a Kenyan. How about that? My God Almighty. No wonder this country's in such a fix. That one in the White House is Muammar Gaddafi's little boy. Kind of looks like him, don't he? No. Yeah, he does.
You know that all these guys, Biner and all these guys, you know they want to use the N-word so bad. Someone's slipping. They can't keep it up forever. Somebody's going to slip. One more thing, and I'll let you go. Michelle Bachman's birthday was yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, damn, I missed it. All right, have a good day, Bob.
See you, Tony.
See you, Bob.
Later. Bye now.
Later. Bye now.
It's our good buddy Tony from Vegas. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there.
What's up, Susan?
Well, the guy from Idaho, first of all.
Oh, by the way, I have to tell you, I have seen a photograph. Sparky in the chat room ran off and found one of his campaign posters or something. Brent Crane, State Representative, District 13.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those where he's turned sort of three-quarter. He's got his blue jacket and his blue shirt and his little red dotty tie on. And he's sticking his chin out and leering out at the camera with those little beady, they're blue, but little beady blue pig eyes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't take much to figure out Brent Crane.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, FYI, the Willamette River runs right down the middle of Portland.
I was right. It runs somewhere in Oregon, right? I mean, Portland is somewhere in Oregon.
That it does. And you pronounced it beautifully. Now, you might try the Skookum Chuck.
Not on a dare. I'm still working on that screwy spelled name river flowing somewhere near Philadelphia. SCHUYZLMNKJML. And it's pronounced, you know, God only knows.
And secondly, the reason everything seems to be wonderfully. Everything seems to be. First of all, you can only grow so many potatoes in Idaho because Simplot owns the potatoes, and he's the one that determines, you know, who grows what. Most of them go to the potato chip factories. You haven't lived until you've seen where Simplot lives. Oh, boy.
Real palace, huh?
The man has enough land for an army.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, one of my favorite, and there's actually one in Huntington, but they're mainly in D.C. in the Virginia area. One of my favorite hamburger joints is called Five Guys Hamburgers. And it's a real simple affair, but their burgers are great. And you walk in the door, and they've just got these massive, like, 250-pound sacks of potatoes. And they will actually write on their little dry erase board every day where in Idaho their potatoes came from that day.
Yeah.
Man, they make a great burger. And their fries are just awesome.
Yeah. Simplot, he comes in, and he'll arrange for an entire crop of potatoes from, like, about half the state before it's even planted. That's the way.
Yeah, that's called an output contract. I'm just buying everything you've got. Thank you. Sign here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, as far as the way Idaho is run, not having any poor and everything, they've got poor and they've got homeless. They just don't give a
rip. Right. That was the point of my sarcasm. Exactly.
Anyway, and as to our friend, the guy, I'm trying to calm myself down, basically. As to our friend, the guy who says it is a gift from God for a woman to be raped. In that case, I think it only just that good old Idaho boy be transported to Walla Walla Federal Prison to be the recreational toy for the weekend of the lifers.
Well, but see, that's not a gift from God, because God don't approve of no homosexuality. That would be satanic.
Now that rape is rape, honey.
No. That ain't rape. That's just dirty old homosexuality.
Well, nobody said that they would rape, that there would be anything homosexual. You know, they might just decide to make them fetch and carry. Snicker, 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 snicker.
You're evil, you know that? And I know you're proud of it, too, so.
I figure anybody who is willing to say something like that deserves the same thing threefold. I would really like to see that man not wake up as a woman, but wake up as a newly sentenced lifer in a federal pen, a really bad federal pen like Walla Walla or Attica.
Oh, by the way, I've got some breaking news for you. I just saw this in the chat room. This is going to make you scream. Just came in from Brad Friedman. Breaking. Prosser up by 7,000-plus in Wisconsin Supreme Court race after bookkeeping error discovered by controversial clerk in Republican Waukesha County. Gee, I hope I didn't screw up Waukesha. Maybe it's Waukesha. I think it's Waukesha.
Yeah, it's Waukesha.
County Clerk Kathy Nicholas, previously criticized for storing election results only on a personal computer in her office.
Oh, gee, I wonder how that one went.
Yeah, she just found 7,381 votes laying around.
Yeah. On her personal computer.
On election night, AP results showed a turnout of 110,000 voters in Waukesha County, well short of the 180,000 voters that turned out last November and 42% of the county's total turnout. So, let's see. Throughout the day Thursday, official canvas numbers flipped the lead back and forth between Prosser and Kloppenburg. While many believed a recount was inevitable, the addition of the Brookfield votes for Prosser could push the justice's lead beyond the legal threshold that would trigger an automatic recount.
I would challenge those votes just on the fact that they were on her personal computer, and therefore the chain of custody had been broken.
Yeah, she keeps election results on her personal PC in her office and only on her personal PC.
Oh, cripe, the entire thing isn't worth crap then.
Yeah, I you kind of knew this wasn't over, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. This has got George Bush 2001 written all over it.
Well, every vote in Wisconsin is counted. You know, there are a lot, they use optical scanners instead of touch screens, mainly. But every vote is still tabulated by a dummyable, fudgeable computer. So,
but
need we...
Do they have the actual ballots?
Oh, no. It is illegal to count the ballots by hand.
Now, you see, that is where they go wrong. And that's where the Republicans have gotten it right for their purposes.
So all you got to do is get a few ballots from dead people and, you know, problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah. And just get the cemetery vote in. Hey.
I mean, isn't it interesting that there are no suddenly discovered Republican votes in or Democratic votes in Democratic counties? Isn't it interesting how the votes are always discovered in Republican counties?
Yeah.
You know, it beggars one's credulity.
That's why I say she really should haul that into court, because that just beggars, you know, that just her personal computer. Give me a break. If I were any judge, any fair judge would take that entire result on that computer and toss the whole bunch, all of them.
Of course, it depends on what kind of a judge you get. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, I mean, if you got a fair one, the fair thing to do would be to toss every vote on there.
But then the Republicans will scream that they've been disenfranchised.
Well, that's life. When you try and cheat, you take the blowback.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Susan, have yourself a good night, dear.
Give my love to Agnes, and personally, I really think Walla Walla would be a really good place for this guy.
Don't they farm a lot of onions there? Well, never mind.
In Washington, yeah, but in Walla Walla, yeah. But
Walla Walla Sweets, I think they're called.
Yeah, and they're very, very, they rival the Dahlia Sweets.
Well, see, I don't care for Vidalias because they have this ugly tendency of rotting from the inside out, and they do not keep.
Well, no onion keeps.
Some keep better than others.
Well, yeah, but
You know what the best trick in the world for keeping onions is? Because it's when onions touch other onions that you get problems. You take a pair of pantyhose. You drop an onion to the bottom. You tie the knot, drop another onion, tie the knot, drop another onion. And then you just cut the knots as you go. And it really does. It helps a lot in the longevity of one's onion stash.
I'm going to have to remember that. I'd have to buy pantyhose, but it's worth it.
Well, you know, you don't have to get the 99-cent dollar generals will do fine.
Well, what I do is I just pull out my psycho knife and start chopping like mad and then freeze them. Because onion, you don't have to blanch onions, and they just freeze really well.
Well, I've never frozen them, but I have used this method, and it works really, really well.
Onions freeze beautifully. They come out of the freezer, and you literally can't tell them from fresh. Almost, it's amazing. They don't require blanching. You peel the things, chop them up. You know, so you get out as much air as you can. Put them in the freezer. Shoot. And you're done. Come spring, every spring I go out and buy huge amounts of Vidalia sweets. I buy huge amounts of Walla Walla sweets and sharpen my knife. I call it my psycho knife. And I start chopping.
Wow. I'll try to, well, don't have a lot of freezer space, but I will take that into, in, I'll try to remember that. Susan, do, have a good evening. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Okay. Love to everybody. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon. And we go forward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, you forgot about the people in the burgers.
What's that?
That oil in the burgers. Five Guys. I mean, not in the burgers, in the fries. They make the, they put peanut oil. They use peanut oil in the fry for the fries.
Well, that probably explains why they're so darn good then, doesn't it, Gary?
Yeah, yeah. You know, with that whole thing out there in Wisconsin, that's funny because I was talking to my uncle the other night while he was following it. He was telling me something that there was some kind of 7,000 threshold. So I find it very interesting that they found exactly 7,500 votes. That's kind of interesting. Is exactly 7,500, huh?
Isn't that just, 7,381 or something like that? Isn't that just just stunningly convenient?
That's beyond convenient. It's just straight-up fraud. I mean, that whole thing's a fraud. I mean, that definitely would have to be challenged, and probably, and hopefully with the right person will throw that crap out. Because, yeah, because I think it was...
I mean, that's something.
That's just blatant.
Yeah, that's like something off the Monopoly board. You know, bank error in your favor. Collect public office.
Yeah, because I don't even need it. Okay. She's up 200. You need 300 to get over. But to really put this thing without a recount, you need to get 7,500. So let's just say we find 7,500. I mean, I think first of all, it's probably not a legitimate thing. Somebody probably is actually doing it. But I also think it's also trying to dampen the efforts of those other recalls that are going on in the state. So this might be kind of like a PR thing. I mean, it could be legit.
Well, there's all of that, but it also sufficiently... You know, if you're anticipating a legal challenge to an election, rule one is muddy the water. And so this makes the water real muddy. So if instead...
She's already given her concession. I mean, not her concession, her speech.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. So Republicans, man. This is, you know, the, you know, I was thinking today with this whole budget thing. You know, I was watching, I was talking to a friend of mine because... You know, and a lot of a lot of businesses here, you know, they make money off the, well, I don't say make money, but we are in business with the government in terms of like services. And one of my friends worked for a training company, and he was saying, you know, I was talking to him, and he was like, oh man, you know, we're not getting our contracts now, and they're putting them on hold because, you know, they've been doing it now for the last 2 months because, you know, we've been warning about this government shutdown. So it's kind of hurting people here, and people are getting really pissed off here in this area, and they're really getting pissed off with the Republicans. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, like everybody else, I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. You know, they're out of control. I mean, I just don't know what to say. And this Wisconsin thing, this is just another example. You know, they just seem like they want to shuck the wheel of the people, no matter what.
Well, you know, I've got, in the stack, Gary, I've got proof of exactly what you just said. And maybe this would be an appropriate time to take a run at it. You know who Mike Pence is, right?
Yeah, Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana, loves the fetuses, you know, real just yucky nut. Well, I said at the beginning of the program that there was a Dr. Freud moment, and really this is, you know, hey, Sigmund, come over here. We've got a live one. Mike Pence showed up on Radio Rwanda, and he's talking to Greta Van Susteren about what they're trying to accomplish, and of course you know what a Freudian slip is.
Yeah,
that's, you know, when you say what you're really thinking instead of what you meant to say. Well, this one is just a Lulu. I mean, this is beautiful. So check this out. Won't take but a sec.
Your continuing resolution, though, if I got this right, it's almost an effort to, my word, checkmate your opponents, because what it does is it funds the troops until the end of September, and it's a $12 billion cut, something they have opposed. So if they don't adopt that, suddenly they look like they're not for the troops, not for paying the troops.
Look, nobody,
so you're checkmating them.
Yeah, I don't know if we're checkmating. But we're trying to score a victory for the Republican people.
There you go. We're trying to score a victory for the Republican people.
Democrats should be running with that right now. everywhere. There's a new nation. It's called the Republican People, a.k.a. the Tea Party, a.k.a. the big business.
Yeah.
It's starting a whole new country.
And the thing is,
Democrats should be running with it. They're not going to run with it.
No, they won't, because they couldn't message their way out of a sopping wet paper bag with a gaping hole in it. Pence really fell all over himself once he said, because here's the whole clip.
Look, we're trying to score a victory for the Republican people, for the American people, not for the Republican Party.
It took him that long, because he knows what he's doing. They're Republicans, Gary. Party first, man. Party first.
Nation last. Brother nation. I don't think this, you know. As long as we can destroy the nation and drive down, because if you destroy the nation, we drive down wages and our masses can go on over to, you know, like we talked about the other day, overseas and do what they want to do. I mean, it's just despicable. I don't know who I'm mad at. I'm really mad with the American people. It's just ridiculous that, you know, that people just can't see through these people. And it took Wisconsin for some people to start waking up, you know, get over the damn racism and realize that these people are, this is a class war. You know, this all this is a class war. You say revenue is like, oh, you wealth distribution. You damn right, some wealth distribution. Yeah, we need to redirect it back to my pocket where it came out of.
Yeah.
No, I mean. So anyway.
Well, that's you know, I was thinking about messaging stuff like that, Gary. And you remember how George Bush used to say, "We got to cut the taxes. It's your money. It's your money." Well, you know what? It is our money. And when our money goes to Washington, I don't expect for my money to then be sent off by the billion-dollar bucket loads to the Wall Street banksters and the fraud merchants. It is our money. But do we message like that? Oh, heck no. No, not us. That wouldn't be nice.
I was looking at some of the Democrats today on C-SPAN, and they were getting up talking about the budget, you know, what the Republicans are doing. The Republicans come out, you know, they get their very dramatic. And what I came to realize, you know, we kind of talked about it last time, is that the Democrats seem like they can't step out of that shell where they're in a policy meeting and they're talking to policy. So they go into these very long-winded, kind of detail-oriented words. Sometimes they try to come to the front with simple words, but they still got these detailed little scenarios, and they go into a whole scenario. I was watching the Republicans, and they come out, and they clearly got sound bites, but they make it very quick to get to the point, very quick, so that you don't miss what they're trying to say. So the first thing out their mouths is, we put a bill to help support the troops. You know, the Democrats come out and say, oh, yeah, this is a backhanded kind of thing, yada, yada. And they go to this long thing, and they don't call them out on it. It's amazing. I mean,
but Gary, that's
they don't understand what they're talking about.
That's because the Republicans took what Karl Rove taught to heart, man, to heart. And what Karl Rove said, and I will not debate this because it's the truth. Karl Rove said, if you're explaining, you're losing. They don't explain. The Republican Party just comes out and tells America what they plan to do to America, and they're going to do it for Jesus and the flag and mother. And the Democrats are sitting there, well, this is bad for policy, and you know, what we need is a blue ribbon committee panel to study. Well, you know the goblolly talk that they do.
Well, you know, the thing that, what about it, is I was watching him talk, you know, I don't know which Republican was, it might have been Cantor or someone. They got another advantage, though, because they're not interested really in governing. They're not even interested in policy. So their mind has been wrapped in trying to find a solution, you know what I'm saying? They have a little small agenda that's being fed into their head by the, you know, their corporate masters, and it's very clear what they want. You know, the corporate people are pretty clear what they want, you know. So they already got that with them, where the, you know, Democrats got the whole thing where they got to try to deal with actual government and governing, and that makes it very difficult for them to just get out there.
Yeah, because it's kind of a complex process, that whole governing thing.
Yeah, I'm saying, and so they actually are, when they speak, they're speaking right in terms of what they're talking about. This really is the right way to govern, with the, you know, even with some of the compromises or whatever. But Republicans are not interested in government. They're not interested in governing. In terms of
they're interested in that George Bush ownership society, and they want to own it all.
Exactly.
But the other end of that stick, Gary, is the fact that the American people are largely incapable of comprehending nuance. They can't comprehend policy. Jiminy Christmas, we've got a country as Joe Bagent noted, 60 million members of the white underclass who can hardly read, but they can darn sure find the numbers on the clicker to take them to Fox. And Fox doesn't ask them to think. Fox just tells them that the Democrats are evil and that's why everything's sideways.
Well, Fox is a very hateful channel. You know, if you watch any of that stuff, that's what they kind of get you to, you know, with the graphics. They got a certain type of graphic, but they also got the little pretty women up there, and they got the hateful rhetoric, and people kind of buy into that. They don't want to sit down and actually use their own brain and have some sense of deductive reason. So, well, you know, listen to what this guy says, but it's not adding up. They want to be spoon fed, and that's what Fox.
Yeah, because thinking makes their noggin heads hurt.
Exactly. It's like the Matrix. I mean, they plug it into a battery, and I'm just here getting my brain drained from them. They don't want to think. And Fox plays to that.
Well, I'll take it one step further. It's not that they don't want to think. After generations of breeding it out of them, Gary, they are, and I think this is an important distinction, incapable of it. There's a huge swath of America that is incapable of nuanced, complicated thought. They can't read. They can't read a sentence with two or three dependent and independent clauses in it. They can't read more than subject verb. You know, see dick run, run dick run. That's as far as they go.
Do you think if a national catastrophe? I agree with you, but I'm wondering if there was a natural catastrophe. Something major happened. Do you think at that point they would wake up and you know how when people have these big tragedies and people come together and they work things out better and they get over their differences to help humankind as in general? Or do you think they actually, if something was to happen like that, they still would be?
I'm in a pretty dark place, Gary. No, I don't.
Yeah.
It's like I said the other night talking about the difference between. Your everyday rank and file Japanese citizen's response to that horror over there, and what would happen if the horror was happening here? We don't do civilized. We do zombie apocalypse.
Yes, I was going to say. So you're saying that there's cannibals among us?
In a minute. Do you remember? It was after Katrina when there was massive flooding up in Iowa. And Rush Limbaugh ran to the microphone to say, "You see, my friends, they're civilized up there. You didn't see anyone looting homes in Iowa now, did you?" You know, with the unstated proposition being, look how the white people behave.
I would say one thing to that, though, because I remember right after Katrina, I really watched that, like, that whole week, and it was just obvious that the government was not. That was the most shameful thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we knew what was going on. Bush was trying to, he was trying to basically do what they're doing over in the other countries. He's trying to get an emergency state. It's ridiculous. You can't tell me you couldn't get some troops down there and drop some bread through the damn dome. But that being said, I do remember listening to Rush Limbaugh when I was driving, and I just listened to him one day, and I can tell you it was the first time I ever heard people calling in and was really giving him hell. I mean, after a while, they stopped blocking calls. It was like, those are Americans. Those aren't refugees. I mean, they were calling in. So there are some of them over there. But then, of course, Hannity comes on right after him, and I listened to a little Hannity show that day, and him and Shepard Smith got into an argument. I guess Shepard Smith was going off on him. But then he had his usual calls calling in, and they were going, like we were just talking about, they were doing a cannibal thing. Look at them, the way that, look how they look. They're all black. It's just the whole racist thing was coming out. I agree with you, but I think there are a few of them over there that I think would cross over when they see they're really out on their butt. I think there are some decent Republicans out there, but right now it seems like they've just been hijacked. It's just really crazy, right now.
Well, and remember, it's easy for a Republican to say, this would still be a great country if it wasn't for them, whoever the them of the day happens to be, whether it's gay people, atheists, the persons of color. Latinos and Latinas, whomever, angry hillbillies like me, You know, there's always a them that's keeping things from being cool.
Yeah, if no black people were here, they'd be at the Jews. If no Jews were here, they'd be at the liberal whites. Of course, they're hateful people. They have to feed on hate. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think this whole thing in Wisconsin, what's going on with that vote, is just so egregious. It's so terrible, and the thing that's going on with this budget shutdown or whatever, when the economy's just now, you know, I guess it's starting to pick up for some people, not everybody. I mean, it's just so blatant what they're doing, and I just don't understand why the Republicans are even in, I don't even see how they got back in power. I just don't understand.
Really? Gary, really? You really don't?
I understand, but I'm just saying, I can't comprehend how people could think that way. I mean, that's just me, because I'm black, I'm not white, so I can't think like how some racist white person thinks. I don't understand it. I really don't.
I know. It is a very hard language to muster, trust me. Master, that is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, man. I know you got other calls, but, you know, hopefully everything will turn out better in Wisconsin. You know, we'll see what happens.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
Okay.
All right. Later.
All right, man.
Bye now.
So.
Gary, our buddy calling from Maryland. And let's keep it rolling, then. You know the number. A couple of lines open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, man, it's like a repeat. You know, it's like, what is it, the Negro minute?
Stop it!
Hey, listen. I just saw this article at Forbes. U.S., according to some general, U.S. may consider sending troops into Libya.
Well, who would have thunk?
The U.S. may consider sending troops, you know, with a possible international ground force that could aid the rebels. Oh, dear God. I mean, wow. I suppose this all goes on with a shutdown government, right?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we can feed the soldiers, we just can't pay them.
Yeah, well, anyway, I mean, I just, you know, the thing that was killing me about some of the machinations that are going on in Congress is, once again, the Republicans are able to do feats of legislative magic when they're in power, but the Democrats, they have all branches and nothing. It's stunning to behold, because the whole idea of them suggesting that they can separate out the War Department and then just leave the rest of the budget there for them to hack away at, it's just stunning. And
well, I mean, legislatively, how does that happen, Sandra?
That's what I'm saying. And I think, obviously, it may come to a brick wall in the Senate.
But this is exactly, because this is the same gang that said, okay, here's how it works. We're going to pass this bill, and we're going to put in the bill that if the Senate doesn't act on it by noon on Sunday, it's going to become law.
Right.
No, Constitution be damned.
No, but it's sort of, and you know, I have to laugh because, I mean, it's not funny, all of it's horrible, but it's funny that Obama's like finally like, oh my God, you know, no, and no.
Yeah, see, I had this little vision of Harry Reid looking at it going, wait a minute, can they do that?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, at least he's, you know, threatening a veto now. I mean, because it's the theater of the absurd. I mean, there's no way. The fact that they've given him everything already, too, it's stunning. It's like, okay, well, you can cut $33 million, that's fine. Oh, no, we want more. And, you know, it's just, if it wasn't so serious, it would just be a farce. You know, some bad, I don't know. I don't even know what to think. It is so bizarre that they're behaving this way, because that isn't how Congress, they can't even operate like that. Wow, it's amazing. I guess they can if the populace is mute. This is what's scary, you know, because, you know, a democracy like this is supposed to involve participation, not just voting. And since we don't do anything but vote, they do whatever they want. It's incredible.
Yeah. Indeed.
And also, this, the Wisconsin, no way. That cannot be. Are you kidding me with this? That has to be challenged. You know, because anyone can say they have 7,000 votes, or I have 4 votes, or I have 20. I mean, They're not going to just say, okay, yeah, sure, he won, and throw in a towel, are they?
No. Well, they get to do that if the if those 7,000 plus votes are determined to be if somebody determines that they're legit.
Right, but it's
because of that threshold that Gary was talking about.
No, but it's beyond blatant, though. I mean, I'm just saying, and this woman is a known liar, and she's embattled. Even the paper of who he had in Wisconsin says that the person is embattled. I mean, that doesn't bode well for integrity, for some 7,000 votes to just pop up out of nowhere. Wow.
Stunning, isn't it? But it's also straight out of the playbook too. I mean, this woman just kind of has Catherine Harris written all over her. We've forgotten Catherine Harris.
No, it's true. But I mean, I just don't. I don't know. It's just hard for me to see that the people there are gonna stand for this. Like they came out in the tens of thousands before. You know, why are we gonna assume that they're gonna just say, oh, okay, yeah, we believe you? I don't buy it. I just really don't think that the election is just going to be resolved like this. But I mean, I guess I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you gotta hope. The hope here is that the people who are being active in Wisconsin know as much about this woman's sordid past as, say, Brad Friedman does.
Because this woman
was caught. I mean, he did an article about her in what, August of 2010. She was stone cold caught keeping election results on her personal PC and only on her personal PC in her office. And she was told to stop it.
And she refused. Yeah, I just am assuming, you know, I mean, this sort of shenanigans, I'm not surprised. I mean, we sort of alluded to this yesterday when we talked about the closeness of the race, full stop. And so when races are close in this country, the cheating begins. You know what I'm saying? With the Republicans. That's their mode.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's modus operandi. That's how it works.
And this is too obvious now because I'm not buying it, and I'm surely hoping that the people in Wisconsin aren't buying this either, because this is terrible. It's terrible.
And yet there's a court sitting there right now that has a conservative majority that can rule that it's perfectly legal and permissible. And again, I reiterate, because I think it's important enough to repeat, that muddying the waters in an election contest is a critical part of that process. Remember how Norm Coleman kept finding votes?
Well, yeah. I mean, but the thing is, hopefully it can work both sides, though. I'm just saying. I mean, if they want to play that game, you know, it's just really hard for me to imagine that after having such a close race that everyone's just going to say, oh, yeah, sure, Prosser, you know, the seat is yours. Enjoy. I don't know.
Well, I mean, among other things, the computer votes really should be made to correlate to the paper ballots, because Wisconsin is, mercifully, largely a paper ballot state. But, I don't fully know how they count them. Do they just keep counting the computer tallies, or do they go and get the physical things?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, I guess we'll be finding out. But
yeah, I mean, here it is. This is from what would be 7:39 p.m. my time. Okay, 7:30 my time. Prosser nets 28 in Clark County. 4,327 Prosser, 3,065 Kloppenburg, 3,065 Kloppenburg minus 36, 4,327 minus 8, net for Prosser, 28. And then the next update from it, Patty just sent this to me. Clerk Sue Ertmer said Winnebago County is still working on its canvas, but she has discovered several voting machines that didn't report numbers initially. That resulted in a net gain of 244 votes for Justice David Prosser. Ertmer said four voting machines in the program indicated they had already turned in results, but it was discovered yesterday morning they had not been reported. That resulted in the county website showing election night that 100% of the vote was in. Now, does that stink to you? Because, I mean, it smells like old cheese to me.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. I mean, it just sounds... I mean, if we haven't been through this time and time again, you know, in the last decade, but we have, and it's just, you know, the fact that they're trying to run this game again is just incredible.
And then, this one's just going to make you run screaming into the night, Sandra. Well, it's not night where you are yet, but Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas apologized this evening for human error that she blamed for failing to include the city of Brookfield's vote totals in the tally she reported to the media election night.
Oh, no.
The mistake and two other changes in the county helped net Justice David Prosser 7,583 votes over Joanne Kloppenburg and swung the race dramatically in his favor. Nicholas said she failed to properly save a spreadsheet after inputting the Brookfield numbers election night, leading to the error. Once she ran the report to show the aggregate numbers for the county, she assumed incorrectly the Brookfield numbers were included. She said the mistake was discovered yesterday during the canvass.
Well, no, then they shouldn't be, there's no way they should be included then. I don't really understand.
There's no way that a woman should be using her own personal machine for this. But that's where she found them.
Well, because it's, you know, what, a progressive, then anything goes as far as, because I keep, what's ringing in my mind is the Supreme Court saying Bush will be injured if we don't let him win, you know? So, you know what I mean? Are we back to that?
I'm afraid we may be. Because, I mean, that's the classic language of a... of an extraordinary writ. One of the elements of proof for an extraordinary writ is that the petitioner will suffer irreparable harm if the extraordinary relief is not granted.
Right.
And so, don't think for a minute that even though those idiots, those malicious pricks on the Supreme Court who did it, remember the language in the court case said, now this should never be used as precedent. This is a one-off. We're only going to do this once. Don't think for a minute that the legal team in Wisconsin isn't more than ready to quote chapter and verse from that decision if they deem that it is that it's helpful to their cause.
Yeah. No, I mean, and her apology. Anyway, this is, I don't know. I find it completely demoralizing. You know?
Yeah, you mean that just disgusting sinking feeling of they're going to steal another one?
Well, yeah, and it's just sort of chronic, and I think Wisconsin is one of the states that's desperately trying to pass a new voter ID law, and you know, sort of alter their whole voting situation there.
Right, because because ultimately this whole voting thing is really, really inconvenient. If we could just go back, you know, this is just how the Republicans are. If we could just go back to when only white male property owners could vote, well, we wouldn't have any of these problems. Because we know how white male property owners are going to vote the right way.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. But did you mention this? The sort of 46% of people in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Well, they want to outlaw mixed marriages, or
well, yeah, they would like for the government of Mississippi to outlaw interracial nuptials. Anybody got the demographics handy on the white versus persons of color breakout in Mississippi? Because that was what immediately occurred to me was if 46% of people said that, then that means there's probably some black folks saying this is, that are in that number. Doesn't that kind of stand to reason?
Well, no, that was what I was going to add. I'm like, well, I'm trying to figure out how many Negroes are saying that.
because
that was my first thought too.
Because the population of Mississippi is not 46% white. I'm pretty sure.
Well, no, I would love to see the breakdown of that, but that would still be shocking. It's like, damn, those places, sometimes. Well, anyway, listen, I didn't really have that much. I just wanted to mention this sort of noise about troops now, and it's just kind of...
Doesn't that just sort of have the feeling of inevitability about it?
I know, but it's really gruesome, because I'm not too sure, I don't know where this is supposed to be going, but it's, that's really depressing, along with the if we had a 7.1 earthquake in this state of California, that would be a huge deal. Everyone's just kind of yawning. Didn't they just have another one in Japan?
Yeah, they did.
Anyway, I mean, that's what...
And curiously enough, it was up there near around Miyagi Prefecture.
Yeah, right, it was up north. And of course they come out trying to say, nothing happened, everything's okay. And I'm just like...
Well, yeah, nothing happened, because everything that could happen that would be bad has already been destroyed. You know, I got to thinking about it. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to be ashamed of myself. But I really wish I wish it had not happened at all. But I wish it had not happened in Miyagi Prefecture. Because that means I can never again watch The Karate Kid. Because remember the master who taught Ralph Macchio wax on, wax off, and all of that stuff? That was Mr. Miyagi.
Oh!
So, there's, for, you know, the minute I heard that, I went, oh, no.
Oh,
paint the fence.
Well, listen, speaking of that, I mean, didn't you watch that video, didn't you find that completely frightening, of that official breaking down?
That broke my heart. I mean,
a
Japanese official from TEPCO talking and just choking up, unable to continue speaking, trying to get through what was obvious. I couldn't tell. What did you think? I mean, did he feel like he wasn't giving all the skinny, or was it just all too much horror to contemplate?
Well, there's either that, so it could be a huge mixture. There's a sort of the horror of announcing all that radioactivity, you know, everywhere and going to the ocean. Also, I'm a walking dead man. I mean, there's so many things that could be. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, I was looking at it, was this man one of the workers, and is he exposed? Who knows? But it was very disturbing to see that, because I'm like, well, these people are barely holding it together. They're Japanese, which, you know, they tend to kind of hold it together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, we are completely awash in this image of the Japanese people being Zen masters of stoicism.
And, you know, and so it was just kind of took me aback when I was watching it. I just thought, oh, you know what? This is so far beyond this accident, you know?
And yet today, I don't know if you noticed it, but as Brad Friedman mentioned, in both houses of Congress, there were straight up attacks on the EPA. I've even got a press release here, Sandra. A press release from the National Association of Manufacturers. The National Association of Manufacturers commends Senator Joe Manchin for voting to roll back the Environmental Protection Agency's new greenhouse gas regulations that stifle job creation and economic growth as proposed in the McConnell Amendment. I mean, the language is just pure gobbledygook. Senator Manchin understands the negative impact the EPA's costly and burdensome regulatory agenda has on West Virginia and for America. And the thing is, it did. It received 50 votes in the Senate, Sandra. All the Republicans, and then mugwumps like Joe Manchin. And I just hung my head in shame. How dare that man call himself a Democrat?
Incredible.
I mean, this is the EPA. Don't some of those monitors that suddenly don't work, and we've decided that they don't work because they're pegged, don't those belong to the EPA?
Exactly. Well, no, listen, I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's worse. The way the EPA is now, it seems to have sort of fallen apart anyway, and now it's going to be defunded. Is that what they're really trying to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the, yes, defund it.
And the thing is, the EPA is the entity that takes care of, like, the testing in the Gulf, or is that the, I mean, who, is that the organization that would be in charge of monitoring all the poisons, right?
The EPA has jurisdiction over air and water.
And isn't it convenient, you know, with the sort of nonstop catastrophes, environmental ones, that is, and man-made nuclear ones, that this is even getting in the air? I mean, it's incredible. Where is the media? What, are they cheerleading that, too?
Well, and let me add one more to that, because I've said it a couple of times in the last few shows. Where the hell are the big greens? Where is the messaging on this?
They're corporations, too. I mean, I don't know. You know, yeah, some of the sort of institutional environmental groups, I don't know. You tell me.
Nowhere that I can find them. Because this is the time when you message on the fact that if you have to dig it out of the ground to make energy out of it, it ain't no good.
And
coal, oil, gas, uranium, don't matter.
Yeah, and also this sort of, you know, I guess it's probably because of that whole gas land, you know, that people are even vaguely aware of the fracking. But, you know, they're trying to make it so it's just too bad. If your water gets poisoning, well, tough shit. We're going to do it anyway.
Right, and you know, I'm sure that I know what the situation is, but yeah, your TV ain't tuned to the Spike Channel. But this program they've got running on Wednesday nights now called Coal, it's a reality show.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's, you know, even this one guy writing, I got this blog post in my email, Coal, the great new reality show that totally misleads you about modern mining.
And who's sponsoring that? What channel is that
on? That's Spike.
Oh, Spike, okay. I don't even know who owns that.
I think that started out as the Nashville Network.
Oh, right. And listen, can I just shift one more time, because I forgot to mention this. It happened a while ago, but what's going on with the dude who published the Goldstone Report? Have you heard of that sort of turn around?
Oh, yeah, he ain't falling on swords. He's leaping on them.
What's happening? I mean, that is so bizarre. I just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, he had to publicly apologize to Israel?
Well, yeah, and it's just kind of, I don't really understand, because, I mean, Israel now is demanding this, that, or another, and to me, I think they're gearing up, because they've been doing a few little hits here and there, I think they're gearing up to attack some people.
Well, you know, warm weather's coming around. It might be time to slaughter some Gazans.
Anyway, I mean, I don't really have any analysis for that. I just wonder, you know.
No, I saw it and wondered about it, too, because I've actually got the Goldstone Report sitting in my bedroom, and I kind of read it. And I haven't read anything that makes me go, well, Jesus, that's unfair. Because it's, you know, it's reality-based. It's fact-based. But apparently the line about Israel, what was it? I can't remember exactly. That Israel engaged in deliberate acts of civilian killing? Wasn't that something like that?
Well, yeah, he's trying to say that it wasn't intentional or somehow dramatically downplaying what Israel did in the end. Yeah, I just don't really understand where it's coming from, and I'm just wondering if his family being threatened. I mean, what's happening?
Woke up with a camel's head in his bed or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right, Sandra, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Bye
now. Yeah, that one's been kind of riding under the radar. I should have brought that up earlier. Email coming in. With regard to the argument about irreparable harm to the petitioner, Jack in Shreveport says, seems to me, in a scales of justice sense, that the irreparable harm done to the electorate would outweigh the irreparable harm to the petitioner. Well, it would, except for the fact that the court has to take cognizance of the arguments put before it. And the standard is irreparable harm to the petitioner. Now, me, if that was me with the old black dress with the zip front on it, sitting on the bench, I would, you know, my inclination would be to say, as long as we're still holding elections every so often, this clown's not irreparably harmed because there's nothing to stop him from running next time. Which is the same damn thing that the Supreme Court should have ruled about George W. Bush. As long as we're holding elections, no, there can be no irreparable harm. Because the whole notion is that you repair the harm in the next election. Run, baby, run! Of course, we see that it didn't quite work out that way. By the way, this in from Joe Ray, the foxhole atheist. Subject line, the straight dope. Hi, Bob. Hi, Joe. Let's just call a spade in regards to elections in America. Our elections are no more legitimate than an election in, let's say, North Korea or maybe China. The only time we the people actually are told the real totals for elections is when the rich people want us to know for whatever reason. Examples are everywhere, and if the audience is not aware already, just check out Bradblog. Bradblog.com. Joe says, I'm taking two law classes this quarter, and one of them started with constitutional authority. I didn't say anything, but should have. Why are we learning about the Constitution when every president since World War II proved that the right people don't need anything as antiquated as a constitution or legitimate election? And that's true. You know, you keep running across these moments where the Constitution says do one thing one way, and it seems like as long as we decide that that's inconvenient for us, like if we need to bomb some brown people, for instance, that we'll just do it some... Nah, you know, what the hell? Unleash the dogs. Let slip the dogs of war. Lead on Macduff, and cursed be he who first cries enough. By the way, the discussion I had with Susan about how to keep onions, Jim noted... Onions. That makes a real smart necklace, too. Jesus, Jim. Oh, God. So, well, I got to say that this is just a little bit sickening, watching these discovered votes just sort of miraculously materialize out of, county clerk Nicholas's magic computer. Did you catch that explanation? Well, I thought I had saved, but I didn't. But then when I reopened it, well, there they were. Well, honey, if you didn't save... Yeah, but never mind. It'll make my poor little noggin brain hurt. David, in South Carolina, with regard to computer voting forensics... With all these repig-licking governors running all these states, this means they are in charge of vote counting. And I hope we have adequate systems analysts and auditors to thoroughly inspect and test every voting machine and every vote tabulation procedure. If we don't think that mystery votes won't show up. Mystery votes won't show up. Remember mystery date? Don't think that mystery votes won't show up in 2012. Hope they can cross-check timestamps, voter rolls, number of people voting, and they need to be in place now before tracks are covered. Need to have computer forensic teams on standby and ready to go. Problem is, David, that presupposes something called foresight and planning. Our side's not so good at that. And the other side of that coin is that a lot of places where you would have touchscreen voting and stuff like that, if you followed if you followed Brad over the years, in a lot of states the law is written in such a way that the voting electronic video game voting companies have absolute say so over what does and does not get counted and how it's done. Many states in this country still cannot even examine the source code for the video game voting machines because the source code is deemed by the vendor to be proprietary. So if you need to dig in there and see if somebody's monkeyed around with the vote totals, the short answer is, you can't. Because that would be a violation of the video game voting company's corporate sovereignty. Now, the way to make all this go away is to have paper ballots, pens, and a small team of individuals in every precinct who just count stuff. I've seen it done. It works. Yeah, I know. I know. But what do you want when we live in a country where a fairly powerful right-wing representative like Mike Pence of Indiana is so unable to contain his true agenda that he can no longer, as noted in my conversation with Gary, that he can no longer constrain himself from telling the actual truth of what he's up to? Let's go back to that clip a minute. It deserves a little more time.
I don't know if we're checkmating, but we're trying to score a victory for the Republican people, not for the Republican Party. That.
No, really, Sigmund, get your nose off the mirror and come over here, because this guy's a real Lulu. We're trying to score a victory for the Republican people. Well, what do you think the intent is in Wisconsin? They're trying to score a victory for the Republican people. You see, Freud, the whole reason that Freud coined, you know, noted these sort of psychological lapses is because such lapses inadvertently tell us a boatload about what's going on in the speaker's mind, about where their head really is. Mike Pence, for instance, does not think of you as an American to the extent that he thinks of you at all. Mike Pence's America is populated by nice white mommies and nice white daddies and shiny white children and everybody else, and they all vote Republican. And everybody else is somehow subhuman, not really American, certainly unpatriotic, possibly atheist communists. Muslims. Communist, atheist, Muslims. I know, atheist and Muslim doesn't work. But you know what? It's okay. That kind of cognitive dissonance is perfectly at home inside the thin, gray, sloppy settlings that slosh back and forth between the ears of your garden variety Republican and are commonly referred to as brains. So that even though that was a massive Freudian slip, Sigmund Freud, white courtesy phone, Sigmund Freud, white courtesy phone, it's still okay. Because the people to whom he's dog whistling understand, because they see America the same way. The only real American people are the Republican people. Yeah, I know, it's kind of horrifying, isn't it? But horrifying though it may be, it is every bit reality.
I don't know if we're checkmating, but we're trying to score a victory for the Republican people, for the American people, not for the Republican Party.
See, he couldn't even get it out the second time. He caught himself. He had that nervous tick laugh for the Republican people, for the American people, not for the Republican Party. Horseshit! Party first! That's why old Grandpa Grumpy McCain and Caribou Barbie's campaign slogan was country first. Because it was a direct mirror opposite of the reality. Complete and total misdirection. Party first. And what does party first mean? Well, it turns out it means a hell of a lot. It means, for instance, that the Republican Party is willing to knock down at least 0.2% from the growth of gross domestic product. Gobbledygook language, you know, of course. But that means they're willing to kill the economy by 0.2% at least. And those numbers come from Goldman Sachs. You know, please. It means that they're willing to stick a knife in the housing market. It means that $42.1 billion of refunds to 14 million U.S. taxpayers ain't gonna happen anytime soon when America has come to depend on those loathsome things. It will actually cause the deficit that they profess to be so concerned about to get worse than what it is. Small business that they profess to kiss the foot daily. Small business loans, with a government shutdown. Now here's some happy news for them. Any insider trading investigations that are going on ain't gonna go on. If you happen to be turning 65 during the shutdown, you're not going to get to start that long walk to the mailbox once a month exactly when you planned on it, because the enrollments for Social Security will be slowed to a snail's pace. The inspections that take place in hell holes run by Massey Energy, who brought us the Upper Big Branch disaster, and ICG International Coal Group that brought us the previous disaster in this state. Those go bye-bye. And yes, 800,000 federal workers deemed non-essential, take an involuntary vacation without pay. And will cost the Treasury $174 million a day in back wages. That's just some of the stuff. Somewhere, somebody gets a federal payday for monitoring seismic sensors that warn of impending disasters. They won't be doing it. Somewhere, somebody gets a federal paycheck for keeping an eye on storm systems. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration recently declared their prediction for the coming hurricane season. In some instances, it's three or four times as many as would normally be expected. But you know what? We don't need those folks on the job either, because the Republicans are trying to score a victory for the Republican people. But you know what ain't getting cut? Liberty University, otherwise known as Jerry Falwell College, gets about $500 million in federal aid. Not a word has been said about that by the Republican Party. And of course, you don't want to say anything if you're a Republican, because they're raising up other good little Republicans. Georgia, I haven't heard from you in a long time, Georgia. It's good to hear from you. Hey, Bob, listening to you and Sandra talking about the earthquakes and air quality and wondering where the Greens are. Not a peep. I want to know where Nader is. He's always been there to F up an election, but now he's silent. What's up with that? I guess the corporations are paying him to stay silent the way they paid him to muckrake. Tell Jim that onions make a great necklace, but only if you have a neck like Barbara Bush. You know that woman loves her pearls. Georgia says, still here. My love to Agnes and the kids, and hugs for all of you. Keep fighting. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you very much. It really is. It's great to hear from you. Both Susan and Marty noted that, no, not onions for necklaces. That's garlic. And you know what? With Republic and vampires flying around like they are, it might not be a bad idea. David in South Carolina noting, you know, the Democrats won't even bring these issues up. Also noting, I heard with my own ears Jim Demented say the same thing Pence said and never correct his statement. He said it in 2004 at a campaign debate. And you see, that proves the point. This isn't just Mike Pence. It's what happens inside the skull of Republicans everywhere. Get it through your heads. I'm not trying to be hateful or anything, but get it through your heads. You are not an American. At least not in the mind of values voting Republicans. You're not an American. You don't matter. These rotten bastards poisoned by the likes of Ayn Rand's filthy maunderings. You're a moocher! Because you actually want government to work of the people, by the people, and for the people! You know, the Republican Party lays great claim to Abraham Lincoln, but you never... all these teabagging horses' asses... You never hear them talking about that for the people part. Because you know what? If a government is busy working for the corporations, it is damned sure not working for the people. The two are entirely mutually exclusive. Artist just put something on my Facebook wall. He said, not only do we have a poverty draft, as you call it, but the military is the only jobs program for youth that I know of. I can think of some mighty sad situations. And as it gets sadder and it gets more desperate, that jobs program, well, you know. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Mark calling you from Florida.
Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
How you doing, Bob? Thanks for answering my email last night. Sorry to send it so late. I'm on the night shift down here at Crystal River. proud of your show, and I'm very lucky to be able to call in. You know, it's funny. I guess that Ayn Rand, who badmouthed all the social programs which saved this country from being continuing to be an oligarchy, ends up in the end of her life using Social Security and Medicare. So how ironic.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. And I love the fact that she wasn't willing to do it under her own name, Mark.
Oh, well, just like the author, not really use my own name. Well, that's kind of like Michael Savage, Michael Weiner, and all he cares about is Israel. So, I mean, people can't figure that out. All they have to do is lie, and I guess for Republicans, they're still looking for the weapons of mass destruction. So, you know.
Yeah, they're going to be at that for a while, aren't they?
They have been, and, you know, in the first oil contract, even CNN, a week open source, showing that the People's Republic of China, you know, there's a guy that ran for Senate in the state of Florida named Larry Klayman a few years ago as a Judicial Watch. Americans will go to judicialwatch.org and download the Cheney energy policy for the domestic and global economy. You'll see that in May 2001, they had divvied up the country of Iraq. Klayman had to get that released through the Freedom of Information Act, and he took the case, I guess, to the Supreme Court, somehow got it wrestled away from them. But 31 countries were getting their section of Iraq prior to the fake attack on 9/11.
And, you know, that's an absolute fact. They did, before the first shot was ever fired in Bush War II, they had Iraq divvied up and the pipelines laid out. Oh, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Another decent source, Forbidden Truth, and I think the author, there's a former naval officer, U.S. naval officer, and a civilian from France, an investigative writer, I think Daftay, but Forbidden Truth explains all the connections with UNICAL, and Condoleezza Rice wasn't just a professor at Stanford, she's a oil executive with Chevron. And getting back to the sudden missing votes, it's just another stolen election. You know, the Democrats took back 19 counties from Republicans there, but suddenly we lost the main seat that we're shooting for, the Kloppenburg seat. So it looks like if Americans would just go to velvetrevolution.us, and you'll see how a Congressman Feeney here in Florida worked with the Bush family to come up with the program, which they fine-tuned in Texas and then brought here for the country. And there's quite an interesting case in there about an investigator, a Vietnam veteran from Florida, who was hot on the trail, who suddenly has to go to Georgia, just inside the Georgia state line for some reason, is found dead in a hotel room. And the theory was that he was suckered to come up there because there's no mandatory medical examination. Also, for the folks that want to see what Republicans are really about, if they'll take a look at RepublicanSexOffenders.com. That list just grows.
Oh, isn't that, you know, that's the stuff that nightmares are made out of, that website.
Nightmares for their asses. But, you know, they're just all, like my buddy, I have a friend that's in the same business I'm in, Bob. He's college educated. He's lived in Texas. He grew up in Connecticut. His father's, actually a retired airline pilot, kind of anti-union, but here's the son who we got into the union about 8 years ago. He's seen his whole life turn around, but any case, well, I've lost my train of thought. I'm driving to work, but I just really thank you for what you do, Bob. You mean a lot to us, and you're a thinker, and that's what we don't have. We just have people on autopilot, and that's one thing I did learn in the Marines, whether you're an 18-year-old or a 30-year-old. If I was ever a fire team leader or a squad leader, a platoon sergeant, never neglect the wisdom or interpretation of those around you, because that could be the very person that saves the whole platoon's life. And Republicans don't think that way. But then their children don't go to war because I guess they're so close to Jesus. I don't know, Bob.
I don't know. I don't know if it's close to Jesus or close to the bank vault, Mark.
Well, there must be Jesus with his hand on the bank vault. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hello to you and thank you for responding to the email. I just woke up and I'm on the night shift, so I hadn't checked to see that they were stealing that election away from you know. And then what they'll do is they'll, if the case goes to the Supreme Court and we don't control the White House in the next election, they'll decertify those public service unions, which are really the backbone of our society, and just put bring security guards on the streets for the firemen and the policemen. That they'll just be people that took a 6-day course instead of a 6-month in constitutional rights. And sorry, I didn't mean to shoot him. And that guy said he was a pilot, so here's the keys to that jumbo jet. Do you mind just go ahead and flying that over to Spain? And I don't know how we lost that plane, because see, they don't believe in regulations, they don't believe in standards or training. All they believe in is how they can make money off it, and they're really destroying what was left of a civilized nation. And for the firemen and policemen that may be listening to this, if they get us, you're next, and they're getting you while they're getting us. So if we don't stick up for each other, don't be surprised you're not replaced by a barcode. That's really all it is.
Well, Mark, before you do have to go, can I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
You've served under combat arms.
The Marine Corps.
Yeah. How quickly does something like knowing that your family back home is not going to be able to pay its mortgage, its power bill, water bill, whatever, how quickly does that serve to demoralize someone in the field?
That's one reason, especially with today's economy. In 1986, when I reenlisted in the Marine Corps, I knew I was good at being a Marine, Bob, and I had a wife on my second tour. And when I reenlisted, I was in Iowa, and the captain who reenlisted me, I had as many ribbons as he did, actually a different set of ribbons, a little more experience type. But in any case, he says, well, maybe if you'll hang around for another week, we can get you Lance Corporal. I said, no, sir, that's fine. I'll take PSC. And I didn't want to lower my dignity to some guy that, while he was in high school, I'd already been a Marine Corps sergeant. But what I'm trying to say is, we serve our country to make a steady living and to take care of our families and to defend our country. But we don't realize that sometimes, and many times, we're taken advantage of by entities that are not so American-minded. What I'm trying to say is, it's for our families and for our fellow Marines' families. And those paychecks, we have a large percentage of E4s and E5s and below that are already on WIC or on assistance. So these checks not coming will be felt before they're even not paying them. These people are living under duress while the Bush twins are wandering around drunk in Buenos Aires. So, I mean, it's huge. It's huge to all of us, and it's huge. The morale for people in harm's way will be immediate, and I would share with the listeners, you take a look at what happened in Vietnam. Most of the situations where there were people fighting with their own soldiers, with their own officers, were the sons of blue collar workers. Where they were, you know, General Schwarzkopf, on his second or third tour in Vietnam, walked out to save a young soldier from West Virginia who had stepped on a landmine. And Schwarzkopf's career was already made. It's a devotion of. I can't talk.
I understand. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make this difficult for you, Mark.
Yeah, it's all right, Bob. You know, we love each other, and they don't. Nobody really appreciates that. They talk about it. They talk at it. But you know, we end up with a country like Mitt Romney or Dan Quayle's, real pretty men, real fragile men, real pretty men. They're beautiful. They're almost, you know, womanlike. They're so sadistic and hateful. And we end up with whack jobs like Palin or Bachman. Those people are actually, they're like crazy to me. John McCain got his own arms broke because he didn't pay attention to Pensacola when they told him how they eject out of a jet. You're supposed to keep your arms in. He broke his own elbows. And then North Vietnamese didn't torture him. They knew his father was the chief of Think Tank Fleet. I mean, that's the head military person for all branches of the surface in the Pacific Ocean, and you're going to torture that guy's son? I think not. So, you know, this country's so easily fooled. But the people in harm's way, we serve for each other, no matter where we're from. So those checks are going to be felt immediately. So I hope the the racist Republicans, people just started taking a look at what's really going on. You know, I had a $10 an hour job in 1981, and most people don't even have a $10 an hour job 30 years later. And people say, why'd you get out of the Marine Corps, Mark? What the fuck am I going to get blown up for? Watching my country go sideways? Watching your state of West Virginia get destroyed for foreigners? Watching Illinois' goddamn caterpillar plants go to China? What am I getting blown up for, man? I'm fighting. People say, you don't like it here? Leave. I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here, and I'm fighting for it. I'm fighting for my country right here. And
you know what, Mark? You remind me, this may seem incongruous, but you remind me of what Muhammad Ali said. You know, when they tried to draft Muhammad Ali, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, you know what? You can go ahead and put me in prison, because I ain't going to Vietnam, because I ain't got no beef with no Vietnamese. Ain't no Vietnamese ever kept me from voting. Ain't no Vietnamese ever told me I couldn't ride a bus. Ain't no Vietnamese. And, you know, I think that's kind of the same thing as what you're saying about right now. Because we've got a segment, if it's not a majority of the ruling class in this country, for whom we are invisible. We are invisible. You know, I've spent a lot of time this week, and it's kind of a manifestation of my own sense of grief about Joe Bajan's passing, urging people to read his book Rainbow Pie. Because if nothing else, reading that, you get a sort of a feeling of kinship that I'm not alone. This isn't something strange that I'm feeling. This isn't just a manifestation of my own ennui, if you will. That there really is a class war out there, and it really is being directed at us. You know, those well-coiffed, well-heeled men. You know, the guy that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, this Brent Crane out of Idaho, he's another one of those guys. If you saw his photo, you'd know it immediately. He's got those little pointy, piggish eyes that just tells you that if you drop dead in front of him, he would not care. Because he knows that there's somebody else out there that'll step up and take your place.
Well, you know, there's 1,100 billionaires in the world. A quarter of them, or actually 400 of them, are over 400 are right here in the United States. We're just a giant Mubarak. We're really no different than Egypt. The difference is people in Egypt figured it out. Here, we're voting for the Mubarak still. Really goes back. It goes back to the way the people felt that owned the mines at the turn of the century. It's really the same thing. Ernesto Che Guevara wanted to be a doctor and had graduated from medical school, and he and his friend were on their last hurrah, and that's when he stopped and talked to the copper miners in Bolivia and Ecuador, and just started asking questions. And you know, about 11 cents a day you make, and who owns these mines? And his anaconda steel. And so we hunted him down and killed Ernesto Che Guevara, who was a doctor who cared about people. That's sponsored by the people with the little beady eyes from where that guy was from.
Amen, Mark. And I have to tell you that I monitor the chat room during the show, and there's a lot of people in there saying, tell Mark thanks for his call, and thanks for sharing, and you know, just thanks for being part of the process of trying to make things better. And I feel the very same way. Thank you, Mark. Take care. Drive safely on the way to work. It's 11 minutes before the hour. In a country that is absolutely poised upon a precipice. It is 11 minutes before the hour in a country that is poised upon a precipice, and not only facing its own doom, but populated by a significant percentage of people who are not only looking at it, but cheering it on, rooting for it, embracing it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you live in a country where working class people are actually screaming, shut it down, shut it down? Where working class people are saying, I don't care if veterans can get the health care that they need. Our budget deficit takes priority. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you actually really know, really live in a country populated by a significant percentage of people who think that it's okay for the government of the people, by the people, and for the people to cease to function? I've said, can you imagine? But you don't have to imagine, because you do live in such a country. And they just might get their way. Want me to make it a little bit worse? Okay, I can do that. They just might get their way, and when shit starts falling apart, they're gonna blame that brown-skinned fascist communist Kenyan Muslim in the White House, instead of the Mike Pences of the world who want to score a victory for the Republican people. God Almighty! And speaking of God Almighty, to bring this show full circle and wrap it up with a tidy little bloody bow, you live in a country where a significant percentage of the population thinks that Almighty God does miracles by leaving women laying bloodied, beaten, bruised, battered, and possibly impregnated on the ground. That is the country you live in. Get your head around it. Comprehend it. And I don't think you're doing anything wrong if in your day-to-day life you look around and you ask, does that person over there, do they think that Adam and Eve rode to Sunday school on the back of a dinosaur, and that God has offered universal salvation because he came down in the form of a ghost and raped a teenager? It's okay to ask those questions of yourself, because if you do not, you have no prayer against them. No prayer. Not a chance. And they will steamroll your ass as quick as look at you. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to make, not you. You're awake in the nightmare. But your somnolent neighbors, ambling through their lives and just expecting things to be okay in a totally dysfunctional nation, because the TV tells them it will. Or because they get patriotic spam emails from their pals talking about how Obama don't support the troops. Great question from Texas Betsy. Why don't Repiglicans remember the rape of Dina and the revenge her brothers sought? Rape is not okay. Yeah, that's just, she merits, bless her heart, the only female child of Jacob, and she merits only a passing mention as a sort of explaining away for why the sons of Jacob went down and slaughtered an entire community. But you see, Betsy, they don't read the inconvenient parts of the book that they profess to love. And they certainly don't understand that those tales of the patriarchs aren't necessarily heroic stories, but are rather cautionary admonitions lest we make the same mistakes. They can't read it that way. They read it for affirmation of whatever evil they are seeking to pour out upon the rest of us. Such is our world. Such is our reality. Darlene just sent in an email a few minutes ago. Hey, Bob, if the government goes on shutdown mode tomorrow, then the Repiglicans will get a hard-on, having a chance to experience what things sort of feel like to drown the government in a bathtub. Wonder if the congressmen and senators still get their paychecks. Oh, yes, they do, Darlene. They most assuredly do, because they are deemed essential government personnel. Nice, huh? Thanks, everybody. We have come to the end of the first week of April. We're $200 away from actually making the first week's fundraising goal. I've deliberately, because I know it is annoying, stayed away from any fundraising mentions during the course of the program this evening. But it'll take about 20 folks chipping in $10 apiece to make sure that the program gets from 1 month to the next, and 1 week to the next, and 1 day to the next. You're the only reason. You're the only method by which we continue to function. And thanks for everybody, to everybody, for all you do to keep it going. Thank you. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our moderator. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to Texas Betsy, our blogger, our op-ed correspondent, Reverbo. Thanks to Osborne Inc., osborneinc.com. Remember, he's still going after that Netroots Nation scholarship, and he could certainly use your help. If you go to osborneinc.com, there are clear and easy directions for voting for him over at Democracy for America. It's free, doesn't hurt, helps a lot. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.